Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. In the times we are living in, we have a very unique and fantastic time in which we are living. Also, at the same time, concerning the Bible, we have more Bibles in more languages, and as I said last time, the world is awash in Bibles. And since it is inspired by God, it is the most important book in the world, the most widely published and distributed, but it is the least understood. So, what are the rules of Bible study? Now, we've covered pretty much the first rule, which is begin with the easy-to-understand scriptures, the simple ones. That's why we went through several of the scriptures and a book of Proverbs to show how good the Bible is. And another thing that is also true is that the laws and commandments of God automatically work. Now, there's another thing that you need to understand, which is this. You need to believe the Word of God, but God also wants you to prove it. So let's come here to Acts 17, and let's see what those that Paul went to in the synagogue in Berea did when they heard about the gospel. Now, isn't it interesting that the apostles had not yet written very much of the what we call the New Testament? As a matter of fact, there's probably very little written at all at this particular time. And we have seen how Paul told Timothy that from a child he has known the Holy Writings, which then is the Old Testament, which through faith in Christ is able to bring salvation. Now, the reason that he said that was because all the things that Jesus did in his life, how he preached, his purpose, they're all scattered in prophecies through the Old Testament. So this is why when Paul went to Berea and went into the synagogue of the Jews to teach them about Christ, he was teaching from the Old Testament. And so he preached it, and Barnabas was with him. Now, verse 11, Acts 17. Now these, that is those in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all readiness of mind and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now notice what we're taught here. You have to have a readiness of mind. And what does that mean? That means you're willing to believe the truth. And as Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus asked the disciples, well, will you go away? And he said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that summarizes the whole Bible, the words of eternal life. So a readiness of mind, and examine the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now, that's what we have to do. Study the Bible. And there are certain keys that are necessary to do it because not everything is in one place. So let's come to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. And this tells us how to study the Bible. Now, here in Isaiah 28, we find something very important. Because the Word of God works two ways, always. The same scriptures, for good and understanding, if you obey my voice, as we saw earlier, and if you don't, for destruction. Now, that's how powerful the Word of God is. And the Word of God is so powerful that it's just like unseen forces in the world, and it applies to every human being, whether for good or whether for evil. And God doesn't have to do a thing, because these are spiritual applications that God has put in motion at creation. So he says, verse 9, Isaiah 28, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" Do you want to know the Bible? Do you want to understand the Word of God? Well, that's what we're covering on how to study the Bible, because as you study it, you will understand it, and as you understand it, you need to apply it. So he answered the question. "Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." Now, this is a little difficult scripture to understand, which means this. The way to understand the Bible is you learn the basic things first. That's why we started with the Ten Commandments. And that's why we started with the book of Proverbs. And that helps you to begin to understand how God has put the Bible together. And as you obey the things that you learn, you will begin to understand why. Now, if you don't, you won't understand. So you have to have a certain basic knowledge of the Bible in order to understand the scriptures that are harder and harder, and some very difficult to understand, and some yet not fully understood. So let's continue here. Verse 10. "For precept must be upon precept." Precept upon precept, that means here is a precept, there is a precept, here is something else, there is something else, and you bring it together. Now, for example, let me give you a study that you can do, which is called a word study. And you look up the two words, "God is," and you'll be amazed how much it describes God. God is love, God is truth, God is powerful, God brings vengeance, God is faithful, God is loving kindness, God is merciful, and all of those things. God is our helper, God is our protector, God is our creator, God is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and all of those come from studying, just looking up in the Bible, where they are in the Bible, and it will be scattered here and scattered there, and precept upon precept, and you put it all together. All right, let's continue here. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. Here's a line of scripture, and there's a line of scripture. And you put it together. Verse 11, "For with stammering lips and foreign tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest he gives to the weary, and this is the refreshing.' Yet they were not willing to hear." Now think about that. Ask yourself a question. Are you willing to hear and believe and accept and begin to inculcate into your life the words of God, the commandments of God, and the teachings of God? Now, if you are, you will understand. "So then, the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Now, isn't that amazing? That's why an atheist can take the Bible, hateful toward God, unwilling to obey, not willing to admit that the Bible is unique and fantastic, failing to put together the truth about how it was preserved and how it was written and how it was canonized, and rejects it. And what they do, they go on and take a precept here and say, well, that's ridiculous. Take a precept there and say, I don't believe that.
I can't believe anything I read in the Bible. You can make it say anything you want. I met somebody at Barnes & Noble who told me that the Bible taught cannibalism was a good idea. That God commanded his people to be cannibals. He then pulled out the Bible and he showed me the passage. Completely taken out of context, completely irrationally taken from the scriptures, when the reality is that the Bible taught instead that if his people did not repent, if God's people didn't come back to him, they would be attacked by their enemies in a siege around their town, they would be starved, and they would end up cannibalizing their own dead. It was not a recommendation, it was not a suggestion, it was a warning, and God was saying, please come back to me before this happens.
This is why Satan the devil has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. Come just across the page here to chapter 29, Isaiah 29 and verse 9. Be stunned and amazed, blind your eyes and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Now, that's a very interesting scripture. When you learn how to put scriptures together, this will tie right in to the world's religious systems in Revelation 17. Let's continue here. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes and has covered the prophets and the rulers and the seers. It gets right back to those three words, obey my voice. If they're not willing to do that, then they won't understand. And if they go out and devise their own way, they end up stealing some of the principles that are actually in the Bible for their own religious myths. This is why those in Berea examined the scriptures, studied them to see if they were so or not, and their minds were opened, and they believed. See, because the word of God, if you accept it and believe it, will open your mind. Now, let's just use a very simple example. If someone is an adulterer and an adulteress, have many men, many women, and they read the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, they say, oh, that's old-fashioned, and that is out of date. However, always do this in those cases. Consider the end. What will their lives really, really be like? Are they happy? Do they understand? No. So here is what happens. Verse 11, the vision of all has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. And it is true. Many parts of the Bible are sealed because it is reserved for those who love God and obey Him. The world can't understand them. Okay? Which they give to one who is learned, saying, please read this. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And that's what happens to all of the Bible experts that reject the truth of God. And remember this, the commandments of God are truth, the statutes of God are truth, the word of God is true from the beginning, God is a God of truth, his spirit is a spirit of truth, but he only gives it to those who love him, believe him, and obey him. See? Let's continue verse 12. And a book is delivered to him who is not learned, saying, please read this. And he says, I'm not learned. Well, how do you expect me to understand that? I ain't ever gone to school. Now, think of all the religions in the world. All of those who profess God or a God or many gods. They have their prayers, they have their rituals, they have their systems and so forth. And all the religions of the world have their own writings, their own ways, but they won't follow and believe the Bible. They'll take some, but leave out the things they ought to. We have covered, and this is a main key one that I cover all the time. So if you haven't yet done this, why don't you try this Bible test on yourself? All right? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now that is Saturday today. And time is reckoned from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Now do this. You observe the Sabbath for a month, 4 or 5 weeks in a row, and read and study the Bible, and study about the Sabbath, in particularly Old Testament and New Testament. And if you believe what you read, and if you accept what God teaches you, then at the end of that time, you will know why you need to keep the Sabbath. Now, that's simple and fundamental. Now, you could do the same thing with every commandment. So, what has happened to the people who have Sunday keeping? They have part of the truth, but they don't understand a great deal of the Bible because they limit themselves by refusing to believe God and the Sabbath. So here's what happens. Verse 13. And the Lord said, because this people draws near me with their mouth and with their lips, honor me. But their worship of me is made up of the traditions of men learned by rote, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. Isn't that something? Now, verse 14. Verse 14 is a continuous process down through every generation that God uses. So, in this generation that we are living in, let's read verse 14 and let's see how it is actively in place, working right now. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do again a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise ones shall perish, and the wisdom of their intelligent ones shall vanish. Now, isn't it interesting? Society today around the world is literally coming apart. Why? We can start with the three simple words. They refuse to obey the voice of God. He says, obey my voice. Look at the trouble we're in economically, politically, religiously, family-wise, our sex mores. Look at how many people are in jail because of breaking the laws. Is it working? No. Why? Because.
I'd be a cigarette. Father will make us stay. I know it's going to be like this.
It's too bright.
Hey, chill out.
They refuse to believe God. Now, let's come to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And this is what all ministers and elders are to do. Verse 15, diligently study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, why must we continue to study and study and study and study As a matter of fact, the Bible is a lifelong study. Now, why is that? Because it's inspired by the mind of God who is eternal. And he is the one who is superior in everything. And he is so great that he has put the Bible together that we are to learn, as we saw back in Isaiah 28, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and that's how everything is put together to understand the Word of God. So right here, he says, diligently study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, all the Bible is the word of truth from the God of truth, who gives us understanding through his Spirit, who gives us understanding through his truth, and who gives us understanding as we believe and obey. Verse 16, but avoid profane and vain babblings, because they will only give rise to more ungodliness, and their words will eat away at the body like gangrene, of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have gone astray from the truth, claiming that the resurrection has already taken place, and are destroying the faith of some. Now think about that. What were they saying? They were saying, well, there's no more resurrection of human beings. That happened to Christ. So here we find being introduced in the days of Timothy, in the latter years of Paul's life, the doctrine of going to heaven. And the Bible doesn't teach that. That's why we are to diligently study, and we are always to compare, and we are always to prove. Let's come over here to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Here has to be our approach, that we accept this as the truth, and as we look at the Word of God and rightly divide it and put it together, it will prove that this is absolutely true. Okay? Verse 16. All, that means each and every one, all Scripture is God-breathed. Now that's interesting from the Greek, because it literally means God-spirited. In other words, the Spirit of God inspired the one who was writing. And remember, only 40 men were involved in writing the Bible. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Now, the Word of God makes us fully equipped to live our lives the way that God wants us to. It has to do with everything about the Word of God. So this is why we need the rules for Bible study, so that we don't find ourselves in a contradictory position of accepting the teachings of men and rejecting the teachings of God, believing in the things that men believe in, that they want to add to the Scriptures or misinterpret from the Scriptures. And there's a great deal of that. And that's why you need the Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order. Because we have carefully gone through and made sure that the English translation is from the correct Hebrew and the correct Greek text, so that you would have the complete Bible translated where there's no interference of the teachings of men, the doctrinal boards of men so that you can understand the Scriptures because it is the truth of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.